Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton and Katie Galley, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, we got a full house.
We most certainly do. This is going to be a fantastic show. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Michelle Williams. She's a strategic profitability coach with Scarlet Thread Consulting. We're also going to catch up with an old friend, Arnaud Vivier. He is the founder of a company called SIGINT, but he's really here today in his capacity as chairman of the Tesla Raffle Committee. So you might come out of this with a Tesla.
I'm counting on it.
But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome to the broadcast area manager with Spaces Perimeter, Miss Angela Furcron. Good morning, sunshine.
Good morning, Stone. Thank you for that introduction.
Well, Angela, can you tell us a little bit about Spaces Perimeter? What do you guys got going on?
Spaces Perimeter is a provider of office space and meeting rooms for businesses, whether you're a startup, you're an entrepreneur, you're a multinational corporation, you're a freelancer, you work from home and you need, you know, sometimes you want to get out of the house and you want to be more social with adults. Spaces is the place. So we have a lot of products tailored to your business. We have a business club membership where you can work in any business club the way you want worldwide. You have 24/7 access. We have dedicated desk space where it's your desk dedicated only to you. And then we have office space for those businesses that need, you know, office space. That's what we provide.
So now it sounds like you guys are better than a coffee shop, right?
Absolutely.
But there's coffee, though. There's coffee, though. That's important.
Right.
You can't not have coffee.
That's right. So the coffee break is very important. So we do offer coffee, tea, snacks. I'm trying to get a barista. But
right,
we'll
there
see
you go.
Happens.
So you need some amenities, right?
Yes, exactly.
And you don't want to have that kind of maybe kids running around environment where it's just like craziness.
Absolutely.
So you
not.
Need some business structure.
Right. This is a business environment.
And then you want to offer some, it's really for that entrepreneur. If you're a solopreneur and you need a space to go and have a meeting, this is a good choice, right?
That's correct.
And have coffee too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need larger facilities, like maybe need a permanent space, there's an option in there as well.
Absolutely. We have office space.
So it's almost, so any size business really can benefit from this service.
Yes. I have office space that'll accommodate up to teams of 110.
Wow.
Oh my. So even a large company, maybe they're relocating to Atlanta or they're expanding, they could come to you and really inhabit a big space. Permanently, or they could do that for a while till they get their ducks in a row for their headquarters.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We call that swing space. So
swing space.
See that? There's a name for that.
there's a name for that. So you're right. You're here and you don't have your permanent location yet. And so we offer that product as well.
Here, by the way, is a marvelous location, right? I mean, it's right at Abernathy and 400. I can't think of a better location.
I describe it as a sweet spot for business. I mean, you know, for folks that don't want to go all the way in town, Buckhead, you don't want to go way north. We're like, you know, in the perfect location for business.
What a great slogan. Swing space and a sweet spot.
That's right.
So now, do you, in your mind, when as this thing grows and expands, because this is Spaces is relatively new to Georgia, right?
It's new to North America.
New to North America. It started
in Amsterdam,
right,
in 2006.
Okay, so they've been doing this for a while in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
And then now they're expanding into North America.
That's correct.
And Georgia is one of the first places, or it's just one of several places?
Actually, we are the only state that has the most Spaces locations. So Spaces Perimeter is the fourth location that's being built right now.
In the metro area?
In the metro area. And then once we're complete, then we'll start at Colony Square.
Okay. So there's going to be here in Perimeter, Colony Square.
Colony Square is going to be under construction probably second quarter. But right now, already up
at the Battery, right?
We have the Battery. We have the Spaces at the Battery, SunTrust Park. We have Spaces Midtown. And we have Spaces at the Avalon.
At Avalon and Alpharetta.
Correct.
So you're kind of covering the city as well with the spaces concept.
Yes.
And then this is going to be the spot for the Sandy Springs, Dunwoody, Brookhaven, Northern Perimeter area.
Yeah, I want to say it's going to be the sweet spot
for everybody,
right?
Is there
for
a competition
everybody.
Amongst the spaces folks?
No, we work together as a team. I mean, because you have some folks who, you know, they love the Battery. Every one of the spaces locations has their own vibe, right? So at the spaces, the Battery, you have like the sports feel because you're SunTrust Park. Avalon is just, is Avalon. Right. And then Midtown. And so Spaces Perimeter, we'll have our own feel too. Because
and then you're in charge of the vibe? Is that your chief vibe officer?
Right. I'm the chief vibe officer. That's right.
So what's an Angela vibe look like?
Well, actually, this location will be very different than the other three because we're the only spaces that's inside of an office building at One Glen Lake. So all the other ones are first level locations where you have foot traffic. So I think we'll have a hybrid of, you know, we'll have fun as a professional environment, but for those who still want to feel like they have that traditional office feel, you get that here at Spaces Perimeter.
Now, are you going to be doing things that kind of create community and create some networking opportunities?
Absolutely. This will be a collaborative community. On daily, we'll have daily, monthly, weekly events. We'll encourage our business clients to present content to the rest of the community to, you know, let everyone know, you know, what their business is, with the products and services that they may offer. We'll have social events, networking events. I'm a big believer in networking, and I just think that that one conversation that you have could be the next business deal for you.
Now, over the years, we've had the privilege of interviewing some of these incubator and accelerator programs around the city. And in those environments, there's a lot of collaboration where somebody might have a great idea for a startup and then everything's going great. And then maybe the startup doesn't work out. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, I met this other person. And then all of a sudden now I'm in a new startup somewhere else because we're all in the same kind of area. Are you going to be doing things that kind of facilitate that type of those relationship building?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
So now how is that going to be done?
Well, I mean, again, it's going to be a community where we have a business club membership. So with the business club membership, it's free for all. You come in and it's first come, first serve. You could sit anywhere between the sixth and the seventh floor. And in that type of environment, you're just open to network with the other.
So I can come in with my laptop and the environment isn't going to be all like formal desks and stuff. It might be like a couch or a nice chair and a desk. Like it's whatever.
Like you're in your living room, you know, like, you know, we'll have sofas, we'll have booths like you see in a restaurant. We'll have those. We'll have sofas. We'll have, you know, tables. So it's going to be...
So it's going to flex to whatever the need is of the individual.
Absolutely. We have a business solution that will fit just about any business need.
How about the virtual thing? Is that also an offering where you can have someone have at least a mailing address and maybe someone answer the phone and direct calls? Or are you having an offering like that?
Yes, we do have... a product called a virtual office.
Okay.
The virtual office is just that, it's virtual. So you have a professional address, telephone answering. And so that way, until you're ready to grow up, move up and get, you know, your own private office, a virtual office is a very good option. If you don't need an office on a daily basis, the standard virtual office will give you 2 private office days a month. And then the virtual office plus will give you 5 private office days per month.
Now, is that different than the club membership where you can kind of just hang out on the couch?
Yes, that's different. The business club membership is just first come, first serve. You come in, you plop on the sofa, the desk, at the cafe. We will have a cafe.
Right.
And you know, meet a client, do some work. You just need a place to land. That's what the business club is for.
And then if I join the Perimeter, Spaces Perimeter Business Club, do I get access to the Avalon one or is that I got
to
pay
extra for that?
You have
access worldwide to every Spaces Business Club within business
hours.
Oh, so
I'm really in the club.
You're in the club. That's right.
No, that's very attractive. So do you envision, or maybe you're already doing this, teaming up with I don't even know what the right label is. Is it brokers or people out there in the market who are working with companies, if they don't know about this, they need to know about this, either as swing space or maybe even as a practical alternative to what they may have initially said they wanted. Are you you have those relationships and you're coordinating with those kind of folks, I guess.
Stone, you're spot on. Mm-hmm. Brokers are one of my top strategic partners.
Those are commercial real estate brokers.
Commercial real estate brokers, specifically the tenant reps, because they're working with tenants trying to find them space. So unlike the traditional long-term fixed commercial lease, we offer a more flexible commercial lease, if you will. Mm-hmm. So for those clients who you know, want the flexibility of month to month or 6 months, 12 months, 24 months, we offer that because the traditional commercial lease, most landlords want longer term.
Now, in your mind, do you visualize this to be primarily that kind of swing space or primarily more entrepreneurial or primarily more solopreneur? Or like what would be a good mix for you?
Actually, that's the optimum word right there. It's a good mix. I have a little bit of something for everybody. I have clients who, you know, have been with us for 10 plus years and they don't plan on going anywhere else. So that's why this is a very unique model, because it does provide that flexibility for those businesses that need that. But we also, if this is where you want to land for a long time, then you can do that too with us.
Now, what was the date of the grand opening again?
Okay, so we're open February 5th. And so we're really excited. The construction is coming along very nicely. We're ahead of schedule, actually. So that is a hard date, February 5th. And I invite anyone who is listening today to come by for a tour.
And then when you come by, you'll see it in progress. So like on February 5th, you open the doors and it'll be done?
It is open. So we've been pre-selling already. So all of our clients who have agreements with us who are going to be either relocating with, you know, over to One Glen Lake or moving in, that's move-in day, February 5th.
And then is there space available or is this thing already sold out?
Space is still available, but it's going fast. Space is going fast. So I encourage everyone who is interested to stop by.
So if a broker out there, or for that matter, a potential entrepreneur, exec or what have you, if they're kind of excited about this idea and don't want to wait till February the 5th, could they still reach out and maybe just come have a conversation at least and maybe get a peek at what's going on?
Absolutely. I highly encourage that. So that's what I'm here for. That's what I do on a daily basis. Folks stop in, they want to take a tour. I, you know, show them what's available. I get an idea of what they need and show them what we have.
Well, you had me at cafe, but I really like the idea of the flexibility. And I like the idea that you have options as you go along. And I'm operating under the impression, even if a small business exec entrepreneur were to come in with the most modest package, you can kind of help them grow into whatever they need, right?
That's a very good point. You're absolutely right. So you start slow and then you grow. So if you need to expand, by all means, you can expand with us.
All right. Mm-hmm. So if you want to drop the, and Lee, you and I have heard these horror stories about early stage companies getting tied into these crazy long-term leases, and it can be a real drain. And if you want to have the kind of environment that Angela's describing, reach out and talk with her. What's the best way for them to have a conversation with you or someone on your team, email, mm-hmm. phone number, whatever's appropriate?
Right. So the phone number is 404-200-1256. Is the phone number. And then our email is, or my email is angela.furcron, F-U-R-C-R-O-N, at spacesworks.com.
And spacesworks.com, that's the website. You can kind of get a glimpse of what you guys offer in the different locations. But you're very active on social media as well, isn't there? A Facebook page and there's some social media
yes.
channels as well, because part mm-hmm. of what you're offering is this kind of collaboration and helping each other get the word out about the good work that they're all doing, right?
You're absolutely right, Lee.
What an exciting time for you. We're excited for you.
I know. I'm very excited.
I know. You're
very
getting close.
Yes.
February 5th is going to come before you know it.
It is. It is.
Well, thanks for coming down and hanging out with us. Hey, listen, we're going to visit with a couple more guests. How about staying with us?
Sure.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us strategic profitability coach with Scarlet Thread Consulting, Miss Michelle Williams. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So what'd you learn in that last segment? Did you find anything about that attractive?
Oh, absolutely. First, I realized that I live near Avalon. So that's
so I just sold Avalon.
Yeah. The second thing is if I wanted to get out of my city, this is the next place I would go, right? And the other thing that I love is because I work with businesses of all sizes and that you are going to be national, it gives them a place to start. And you mentioned about being in long-term leases and what that does to profitability, especially if that's not what you can do. So the fact that you have so many ranges for businesses at all levels. So we definitely have to talk and I definitely want the tour.
Fantastic.
Well, Michelle, can you talk a little bit about profitability and maybe explain some stuff that business owners are confusing or maybe don't understand fully?
Okay, do we have about 4 or 5 hours?
Absolutely. We're here for you, Michelle.
Right,
we're here
awesome.
For you.
You're here every Monday for the next 6 weeks.
I could totally do that. So, you know, I'm a firm believer that profitability is not a one-time event. It is made up of a bunch of choices, right? Mm-hmm. One choice after the another. And it's not just about money. Because if we're not profitable with our time and our energy and our processes, it shows up later in the form of money or lack thereof. So to me, profitability has to do with making an impact and being intentional and how we spend our time and how we spend our money, because those are really the two main resources that a company has is time and money, and they both are extremely valuable. So the companies that I work with primarily are creative companies. So the owners have creativity as their base. That might be interior designers. It might be I work with jewelry companies, I work with bookkeepers, I work with a lot of different companies that are looking to make money and to be profitable while they do what they love and pursue their passion.
Right. So they have their art, but then there's the business side, and maybe business isn't their superpower where art is.
Yeah. So it's funny that you say that because here's what they all say when they start the conversation. Hi, Michelle. I'm really creative and I hate numbers and I don't know anything about it. And I'm like, it's okay. I hear that all the time. I'm here. I got your back. So I love the numbers, but I also love the creativity and understand that. Mm-hmm. And they also know, I mean, anybody knows after a while, you can pursue your passion. But when you are looking at an income statement or a profit and loss statement and there's no money at the bottom, you can only pursue that for so long, especially if the business is intended to provide income for a family. So you just can't work with a negative.
And then that's, it could become frustrating for that artist or that creative person that has this passion, you know, off the charts passion, off the charts artistic ability.
Sure.
And they're not seeing the return. They might get frustrated and stop doing what they're meant to do, and then kind of live that life of quiet desperation.
It's true. And I would tell you that that's probably the life that 95% of them...
95. Mm-hmm, and you're a numbers person. Mm-hmm. So that seems pretty accurate.
It's high. It is high. It is rare that I find that a person who is pursuing a business in the creative space, unless they have a business partner who is numbers minded and who has a financial analysis type brain... It starts off that way because they don't have good business practices, usually because in their career path, maybe either college or whatever, they were taught their trade, they were taught their passion, they were taught their skill, but they were not taught how to run a business. And they have so many beautiful things to put out into the world, but you lose your passion very quickly when you work 40, 50, 60, 80 hours a week, and then there's no money to bring in, or you don't get a consistent paycheck. And you're the one who's also trying to be the marketing company because it's what you're doing. And you're trying to be your own business analysis and your own bookkeeper. And they just run into problems. And so it's rampant. I wish I could say it was 10 to 15%, but then I probably wouldn't have a job and be needed. But it's
so
really,
now,
really
higher. What is your role then? Are you their accountant? Are you their bookkeeper?
No.
Are you? So how do you kind of help them kind of get their act together?
Great question. So I'm kind of in the middle of all that. So I am their coach. just like we, you know, we're getting excited about the big game here tonight. And, and our teams, our football teams, they have a coach, somebody who's on the sidelines who sees what they don't see. They're in the middle of the game. I'm on the outside looking in. I'm telling them, here's the play that's coming. Here's what's getting ready to happen. Here's how we can learn from what's happened before. And because my background is in financials, as well as the fact that I've owned a creative company for 16 years, I understand both sides of that brain, that left brain logical and right brain creative. So I kind of stand in the middle. I read their numbers to them as a story. So I'll say, okay, once upon a time, there was a business owner who had an income up. And then because the numbers tell the story and it's not lying. And I read it to them. But then what I do is I also can meet with their accountant and their bookkeeper. And I have a fantastic accountant on my team and a fantastic bookkeeper on my team if they don't have one. And I kind of sit in the middle and translate. Because what they'll say to me is that when people start talking finances to them, they don't know what they're saying. And I kind of sit in the middle and translate from the creative owner to their financial analyst or their bookkeeper or their accountant. And then I translate back so that my goal is, number one, for the companies that I work with to feel like they're part of a team, so that there are people who have their back on the finances.
And that's an important part of this, because they they feel like no one understands their situation, and they don't have the skills to kind of solve it, and they can't watch a YouTube video to figure it out, right?
Exactly.
They need a human being to kind of watch their back.
Or they've tried to figure it out, but as we all know, when it's something that's not what you are used to doing and you don't understand, and there's so many changes that happen every year, like even now with all the tax changes, you know, the companies are calling me and then I'm working with the accountants to make sure that we're covered and we're planning properly. So they need to know that there's hope. They need to know that there's a team. But then my goal is to make them owners of their finances. It doesn't mean they have to do the financial work, but they need to own it and understand it so that they can make decisions.
Now, part of your coaching is you're part of the Profit First kind of community.
Yes, I am.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So in 2015, I found the Profit First methodology. I had been doing a similar methodology in my coaching prior to that.
Just kind of on your own.
Yeah, because I'd been caught with not having enough tax money 1 year, right? I mean, we work out of what we've done, right?
Right. And once you have that scar tissue, it kind of changes things.
No doubt. So I had been caught with not having the tax money and having a bang up year. I had been caught with not being paid at some point when I first started. So I understood those pain points, and I had already been putting things into practice in my teaching and in my coaching to solve that problem, to help my clients, because I knew it was coming. The minute you become profitable, if you don't save out for taxes, you're in trouble. And then you got to pull the money out of your home, which means if it wasn't saved, and you get the picture to talk about, want to hide in a corner. And so anyway, Mike describes it. Mike Michalowicz is the author of Profit First. And I read the book and I caught him in 2015, and I'm like, I've got to be on your team because I already teach this and I would like to teach it the way you do.
Right, in a more
formalized structure. And you wrote the book that I would want to write. And so now I'm relieved and I don't have to do it. So let's just do this thing.
But this was early on, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you were one of the first Profit First coaches?
Yes. Yes. And I joined right before we had the first Profit First conference. Literally, I think I'd been in a month. And the process works. The methodology
works. Can you
works.
Talk a little bit? Like, the book is called Profit First, but the premise of it is Profit First.
You take profit first. Yeah.
Which is not the normal accounting.
Traditional accounting approach. The normal accounting would tell you that you subtract out all your expenses and your profit is what's left over.
Right.
But as we all know, we're going to spend for what we have. Put $20 in your pocket and go out this afternoon. And I promise you, if you go out and buy a coffee and go hang out at a cafe, you're going to come back with nothing. But if you knew that you needed to save some percentage of that, you would pull it out early.
Right.
And so what Profit First does is it does flip that accounting on its head, if you will. Not to say that our accounting doesn't work with, you know, QuickBooks or whatever accounting system we have. That's still in place. But this is more of working with our human tendencies instead of against them. So you take your profit out first, whatever percentage you have calculated that is right for your company, and you save it in a separate bank account. And so then it takes it out of mind and out of view when you go look at that bank account, where you're only going to spend what's left. It's like if you have 15 in your wallet, you're going to spend 15. You're not going to spend 20 because the other five's not there if you've taken it out. So for the companies that start doing this, they start becoming profitable immediately. And they realize, now I have less money to run my business on. And so then they actually adapt.
And then they adjust to that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Instead of the opposite.
Right.
Just keep spending the money and then hoping a profit's going to happen.
Absolutely.
At the end.
And I just started leading a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University,
which has a similar,
it's very similar,
but for the individual rather than the business, right?
Yep. So it works. It's so funny because once I start Profit First with a company, it usually rolls into the family,
right?
Because if you show me, especially an independent business owner whose business books are a mess, chances are their family financials are struggling as mm-hmm. well. And so once we help them understand how to be profitable and how to save and how to save out taxes, like I'll usually say, if you read Profit First and you think, oh my gosh, that's too much to implement, kind of like this new year where we're like, oh, should I start a diet, drink 8 glasses of water,
right, and do it all
it just
at
feels
once.
Like, yeah, too
right.
much. I'll say, if nothing else, take a profit and save for taxes. If you do those two things, it will release so many endorphins that you'll be open 52 bank accounts and parsing out everything.
Now, when you're working, walk us through kind of what that initial kind of engagement looks like. How, so somebody comes to you and goes, hey, Michelle, I got, you know, I thought I made money last year, but now I'm not sure if I made money. Like, what's the pain they're having where they're like, I better call Michelle?
A lot of times I'll see they're not making a consistent paycheck. So they're
those
not getting...
Those are kind of red flags.
That's a red flag. They're not being paid consistently. They have not made estimated tax payments. They don't have the money to pay the taxes. Or they'll look at their income statement, that profit and loss, and they'll see a number at the bottom, and they'll call me and say, but that money's not in my bank. Where did it go? That is immediately what we see.
So then,
or the number's negative at the bottom, and they're freaking out.
So now they have this problem. They call you up, and then what does that first call look like or sound like?
Usually I'm telling them that
to
I
breathe.
Understand.
Yeah.
And that, and sadly, that they're not alone and that I understand. And I would say, for the most part, there's hope and a way to get out of it. I mean, once in a while, they're so upside down that drastic measures have to be taken. But I'll say 9 times out of 10, we can start adjusting if they're willing to do really hard things. Because just like in your home, if I told you had to completely change your budget, it rocks your world. It rocks the way you do things.
Like, I got to get rid of Netflix too?
Yeah, you know? You might. But they have to be willing to say, if they want the business and they want to pursue their passion, they have to be willing to say, I'm going to take a hard look at everything's on the table.
And so you become kind of an accountability partner?
Correct. Correct. We literally walk through that company. We walk through processes. We walk through procedures. We walk through waste. We walk through all their expenses and we scrub them. And it may be no Starbucks, no green smoothies. You don't get to do meals and entertainment. That's just not what your company can afford right now. Many of them are living well above the company means. And so we kind of have to
kind of scale back.
Reality adjustment. Yeah.
So is that really how the scenario unfolds, though, the way Lee was describing, that you get people calling you, or do you find yourself that you need a marketing effort?
I haven't needed a big marketing effort.
Wow.
Not to say that I don't market, but it's not a huge marketing effort, because once somebody comes in and they see how their business can change by working with my company and implementing Profit First and all the other processes and procedures that we put in place, it is so life-changing to them that they literally become my marketing. And so I have a major referral basis, especially within the creative space of interior design and custom drapery workrooms.
Sounds like you preaching, what did you say, niches?
Niches bring you riches.
See, that's one of the things that we talk about is niches and the riches, because that allows you to do processes and procedures in a way that is repetitive. You know your market, you know their pain, and they can go in. So I absolutely am a fan of niches and the riches.
And then, so when you're targeting that group, you become an expert in that space, so you know where all the landmines are ahead of time.
You got it. And because I've owned a business for 16 years in that space, mm-hmm. I've lived it. And so I absolutely know it.
Now, do you have a story maybe you can share of something that was rewarding that you were able to transform a business and help them kind of live their dreams?
Absolutely. So I have this awesome client. First name is Annette. And when she came to me, she was... and I know she won't mind me sharing her story because she's shouting it from the rooftops herself. But she was really struggling, about to go bankrupt, couldn't feed her family, and was really in a bad place. But she loved what she did and she was good at what she did. She just needed some business practices and needed some confidence behind her in what she was doing. So we started working together, I think around 2012 into 2013. And at this point, I mean, her business is overwhelming. It is fantastic. She is able to pay her taxes. She's able to help her kid get through college. She's able to take care of her family. And as she would tell you, she's now a real business owner versus a hobbyist hoping she was a business owner because the practices didn't support her.
Now, when they work with you, is this something that you work with them for a little bit and then they're on their own? Or is this something that is just built into their budget that it's a monthly, quarterly, you know, semi-annual, annual relationship?
Yes, yes, and yes. So I have I have some clients that I've been working with for 6 years. And we're on a monthly retainer basis, and we work.
And it's like a check-in, maintenance.
Absolutely,
that you're,
we have a strategy.
Is it
session.
A call? Is it
a call?
Mm-hmm. Is it all virtual, or sometimes you meet in person?
Majority of the time, it's virtual because my clients are across the United States, Canada, Bahamas, all around. Mm-hmm. But for those that are local to me in the Atlanta area, we do sometimes meet. I just had a meeting with a client down at Serenby for 2 days, so I do travel around through here if we need to meet. But and primarily, 45 minutes to an hour on the phone for a strategy session.
And then the profit first, and they're still part of that community as well.
Correct. So I do profit first coaching with all of my coaching. Uh-huh. So anybody that comes to me that says, I just need, you know, help with my interior design business, we're going to implement profit first to some degree. Same for anything. But I also then have a profit first course online that if people wanted to do it more self-paced and on their own and then just ask questions, they could do that as well. And of course, it's less of a one-on-one touch, but it is available.
So at the very beginning of these conversations, and it sounds like you've got the track record to back it up and you're very articulate about this. And I'm trying to envision this conversation with the typical entrepreneur business owner that's been flying by the seat of their pants, and or maybe they've got the MBA and they've been through the, you know, revenue minus expenses equals profit equation. At first, are they a little bit resistant? Do they look at you like you're like from another planet at first when you talk? How do you navigate that conversation?
Well, okay, so there are two different types of people that come to me. There are some that are going to come to me and they've never heard of profit first. They don't know anything about it. They just know they're desperate to not do things the same way they're doing it. So at that point, they are so willing to grab onto any life raft that I throw them, that I could tell them to dress up in purple and they would do it. They're desperate, you know, and I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying they literally are on their last leg and they need help. They're hurting. And this is their income. So those are an easy sell. The ones that are a little more difficult are the ones that go, you really want me to open how many bank accounts? And in their mind, they equate that to a lot of work when it actually is meant to simplify the way they do things. So that's why I said I can start it very easy and simply and go, let's just start with two bank accounts. Let's start with the tax account because when the IRS comes coming, that's their biggest pain, and let's save for profit in the company. Once I usually get those two adjusted, the next one that shows up is, okay, they want a salary. So I kind of just lead them into it a little at a time and say, trust me. And they're calling me because they've been referred. And so usually they'll do that.
So a quick question on that, because again, I could see this happening, is sometimes for the one that's not in so much pain.
Sure.
Is their first swing at this, well, why don't we just, we'll market that down on paper and we'll have some virtual envelopes.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah. I mean, do you ever get that?
Oh, absolutely. They're like, well, I'm just going to keep up with it in Excel spreadsheet. And I'm like, no.
And we won't touch it. We'll just park it over here.
I've tried that. I literally tried that. And right. I can tell them it does not work if you don't keep the spreadsheets updated. Or it's just like having $10 in your wallet and swearing you won't use it and something comes up. It's the reason Dave Ramsey tells us to cut up our credit cards. So if they want to implement and they really want to do business better, but you know what, to your point, I'm not dragging anybody into profitability.
Right.
If they choose to remain unprofitable, I'm going to let them do that. They own their company. So
now how quickly do they see results?
That varies based on company, but some can see it within the first month or so when they start those first allocations, because they'll usually tell me there's no extra money. And when we show them how to start taking out a little bit at a time, I think that first light bulb comes on is, oh my gosh, I can actually do that. Because we start small. I mean, we may even start at 1% for a profit. So, I mean, I'm not starting off at some 25% profit. It may be 1%. Mm-hmm. And when they realize that that's almost negligible in the way they run their business, then they kind of start becoming confident that they can do a little more. And we do tweaks. So we may start off and then in the next month, we may tweak again, or we may wait 3 months and tweak it the next quarter. And so for some companies that are really large that have a big machine to turn, I mean, it can be a couple of years to really get the whole thing. They didn't get into this mess overnight, and they're not usually going to get out overnight.
And then your sweet spot for companies that you work with, are they $100,000 a year, $1 million, $100 million companies?
I would say right now my sweet spot is $500 to about $4 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I work with a lot of other companies that are smaller than that, more of the solopreneurs, but I've got programs to help them. But the ones that I'm really digging into now, majority of them are 500 to about 4 million.
And they're in the interior design, typically?
Interior design, drapery workroom, blind shades and shutters, that kind of thing.
That's your specialty.
Yeah.
Well, I have to believe, though, companies of that size, I would think that they would start to see a little bit of sunshine almost immediately. I don't care how bad things are sinking, it might seem, if it's that and, oh, look at our profit account. Oh, look, we've got some money set aside for taxes. That's got to feel like relief almost immediately.
It does. And the larger companies, million and up, a lot of them are really wanting to provide bonuses for their employees. Uh-huh. And they don't know how to do that. And so part of what we do with their profit is create a bonus structure that allows them to get back to their employees. So that makes them feel good because they're very forward focused in thinking about their employees.
Wow. Keep up the good work.
I'm going to do that.
Well, no, you must find this incredibly rewarding.
I love what I do. Everything in my life has led me to this. So I would absolutely, my goal is to do this forever.
All right. What's the best way for our listeners to learn more, have a conversation with you or somebody on your team?
Sure. So my website is scarletthreadconsulting.com. And you can reach me at Michelle with one L at scarletthreadconsulting.com. And the phone number is 678-576-0814.
Okay, I can't let that go. I know I just wrapped up this interview, but I got Scarlet Thread. Is there a story behind that name?
There absolutely is.
All right, I got to hear it real quick.
So I believe that every person has a gift and a talent that was given to them by God. And I believe that that He intended for us to use that to be able to take care of our families. And so Scarlet Thread is based on Joshua chapter 2 with Rahab, who was a prostitute, who was pretty much one of the saviors of the Israelites. They went in, God had given them the land, and God told them when they went in, whoever saves you, tell them to put a scarlet ribbon or a scarlet thread outside of their window. And when we take Jericho, anyone in that home will be saved. Mm-hmm. And so she actually became like the great, great, great grandmother of Jesus Christ. And so to me, that is important because it means that no matter what we've done, there's always hope and there's always a better way. So no matter what your financials look like, there's a better way and there's hope. No matter what your life looks like, there's a better way and there's hope. And so that is at the heart of everything that I do.
I am so glad that I asked. One more time, coordinates for someone to reach out and talk to you.
ScarletThreadConsulting.com and Michelle at ScarletThreadConsulting.com.
All right. Hey, stay with us. We got one more guest we're going to visit with.
Sounds great. And I think he's a prophet first guy.
Oh, is that right? Oh, interesting.
Did not know that.
All right, Lee, you ready for the headliner?
I am.
Okay. Please join me in welcoming back to the Business Radio X microphone, again, founder of SIGINT. But that's not really what he's about today, but I'd love to hear a little bit about that effort at some point. But we're really going to talk about his work in the Center for Family Resources and how to get you a Tesla.
Can't wait.
All right. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Arno Vivier. How you been, man?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be back after 6 or 7 years, and I'm pleased to see that you guys are still doing as well as you are. So. I think before we start anything today, I have to say, go dogs. Go Georgia Bulldogs.
You don't have to. You can if you want, but you don't have
to. It's recorded for posterity now. It's been broadcast to the world.
But thank you for giving me the opportunity to come and talk about the Center for Family Resources.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a director on the board there. And the Center for Family Resources was really started in about 1960 by a bunch of lawyers here in Atlanta. And the purpose of the Center for Family Resources was to try and help people that were really down on their luck in Cobb County.
Mm-hmm.
So we really, primarily help people that are unemployed, maybe have been abandoned. A lot of our clientele are moms, single moms with kids. We typically have a facility close to the Big Chicken.
So there's an actual facility?
Yes, we have a facility, which is about 60,000 square feet.
Wow.
Of that, about a third is rented out to other nonprofits. A third is actually business space, which is called the Mansour Conference Center. Mm-hmm. And then about a third is actually for our charity organization, the Center for Family Resources. At the Center for Family Resources, we basically have counselors that actually our clients come in, and we would actually find out what their situation is. And then we would typically try and assist them with rental, food, utilities. If they haven't got a high school diploma, we'll try and get a GED going. We've got a food pantry.
So whatever the needs that they might have, you're trying to serve as many of them as possible?
Well, we're trying to, you know, the whole objective is really to try and teach self-empowerment about mm-hmm. how to budget, you know, how to get back to actually doing things properly, how to actually start a savings account, how to put some money away. Let's get your GED diploma. How do I actually write my resume to actually help me get a job? Mm-hmm. You know, so we really do that kind of stuff. So what we really found at the Center for Family Resources, we were collecting about $3 million a year to actually help people.
And these are the people who are donating. These are individuals that donate, business people that donate, businesses that donate. It's a combination of all this?
It's really a combination primarily of federal and state grants that we actually get, which constitute most probably about half the money. And the mm-hmm. other half is donations from individuals and companies that we actually get. But the problem is we collect $3 million a year, but 80% of the people that come to our door, we have to turn away because we're underfunded.
Oh, so you're only serving 20% of the people that are knocking on the door?
That's correct.
That's how big the need is?
Yeah. And, you know, I live in East Cobb, and I can tell you there's a big divide between what goes on in East Cobb and West Cobb. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's a lot of very wealthy people in East Cobb and a lot of very needy people in West Cobb. And, you know, I kind of live in East Cobb, so I kind of collect money in East Cobb from everybody's trying to give to West Cobb.
Right.
So. But, you know, so one of the things we did this year is I participated in a Tesla raffle mm-hmm. Up in New England. And I thought, being on the committee, that we could maybe raise some additional funds for right. the charity by actually having a Tesla raffle. And, you know, Tesla being such an object of desire,
sure,
we actually had to try and put this whole thing together. And it actually turned out to be that we did put it together. And we've now got a situation where we are going to be selling 2,500 tickets at $250 a pop. You know, if we can do that successfully, we'll raise $625,000. And after all the expenses, the charity will net about $400,000. So if we can sell all the tickets, but this ticket sales are slow, so we need to try and pump it up a little bit.
And that's why you're here. So how can somebody take part in this? Is there a website for the raffle, or can I just give you $250, give you my credit card? What's the best way to do this?
Well, Lee, that's a very good question. You know, we decided to try and do it all online only.
Okay.
So we actually set up a website called the CFRraffle.com.
CFR, and then the word raffle. So there's two R's next to each other in the middle of that.
Correct.
.com. If you go there, you can buy as many tickets as you want.
You can buy as many tickets as you want. And, you know, the real good news is that the odds are pretty good. If you consider the Powerball was, you know, $500 million, but the odds are about 302 million to 1 you know, of winning something.
And so there's a Tesla available, but there's other prizes as well.
Yes. The first prize is $160,000 Tesla is the first prize. Of that, $120,000 is car, and $40,000 will be your federal tax that we're going to pay for you.
Nice. Oh, so you're going to pay the taxes too. That's
cool.
And then we actually have a second price. We actually have an e-motorcycle, which is about $20,000.
And those are the electric. Those are electric motorcycle, right?
Unbelievable. Mind blowing. And then the third prize, basically how to create a dream vacation, which is also worth about $5,000. And then fourth prize is a RecTech grill for about $2,500. And then fifth place is $1,000 cash. So lots of chances to win and get your money back.
And then, so you just go to that website, CFRraffle.com. You can go and kind of enter. And it's limited to 2,500 tickets?
It's limited.
Period, the end, right?
Yes. 2,500 tickets is limited.
And how many have you bought?
I'm not allowed to buy any because I'm on the committee.
You're not allowed to buy. So the committee's out. So you got to find strangers. That's harder.
That's harder. It's even harder because it's got to be what they call 1 degree of separation. So my wife's not allowed to buy one and my kids aren't allowed to buy one.
So now it's really hard. So that's why you're out here talking about it so much. So now this is the first time you've done the Tesla thing here for this group, but it was successful in New England, you said?
Yes, it was successful. They ran it twice up in England at a company called Climate Exchange. Mm-hmm. They ran it. The difference was we did a lot of kind of legal due diligence on putting a raffle together.
You have a bunch of lawyers behind this group.
Yeah, lawyers seem to be the bane of my life. But we had a lot of lawyers. What we were able to determine, which was kind of unfortunate, is that we had to restrict the raffle to Georgia only.
Oh, so you have to be from Georgia in order to participate.
So in other words, if you go and buy a ticket and you put in any other state, it won't accept your money.
It won't even.
So it's really Georgia only.
And then what's the deadline? When are you giving this away?
We're actually going to, the Center for Family Resources has a annual gala event that we actually do at the Cobb Galleria on the 24th of February.
Uh-huh.
And we are going to be at the gala raffling off the Tesla. And you do not have to be present to win.
So you can enter online and then you'll know on that at the gala if you won or not.
Correct. And we'll also be doing a live stream from the gala when we're going to be, turning the tumbler.
So there's going to be a tumbler?
A tumbler. And there's going to be
all the bells and whistles here.
And there's going to be auditors. And there's going to be,
But this gala is no small affair either. I've heard legendary stories about this Center for Family Resources gala in the past.
Well, I would like to formally invite, Business Radio to the gala event.
Thank you.
That you guys can maybe come and actually observe this Tesla raffle thing. But the gala
and
event,
I can drive home in it.
You sure can.
Are we enough degrees separated?
Well, of course you guys. Well, we're almost family, guys. As the chairman of the Tesla committee, I had to kind of do my due diligence and take one for a test drive.
You had to.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Somebody's got to do it.
Well, it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it, right? So, I went down to the Lenox Mall, and they've actually got a fantastic Tesla store there, which is kind of half in the mall and half outside. And I went up and drove one of these. I had two buddies visiting from South Africa, so they kind of didn't know what they were signing up for. And I kind of put them in the back seat, and we went for a test drive. I mean, I guess what they didn't know is that the Tesla Model S or Model X P100 is the quickest production car in the world. So if you can do 0 to 60 in 2.6 seconds, and I believe maybe even a little faster these days, so these poor guys in the back had no idea what they were signing up for. I mean, so I had guys with huge eyes sitting in the back seats, is this?
But they can't buy a ticket because they're not from Georgia. For them.
They couldn't. But the point is that the drive on the Tesla was absolutely amazing. The fact that it's so fast and it can... Then we got on the highway and I put on the autopilot and I took my hands off the steering wheel. And the guy said, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, this is the evolution of cars is happening inside that Tesla room, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's very exciting.
Now, your day job is with SIG Int. Can you talk a little bit about that before we wrap?
Sure, I can. And I'd like to say that SIG Int is a software company. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've actually started 4 technology companies since I've actually been in Georgia since 1996.
You can't keep a job.
I wish. I wish I had the Profit First book. I wish I had read the Profit First book 20 years ago. I only read it last year for the first time. I would strongly recommend it to any kind of entrepreneur, anybody starting a business. And quite frankly, you should be giving it away to anybody that's coming into your space.
You guys
space.
Could all work together on that. That's a great idea. That's really good counseling here.
Well, thank you. I mean, I might actually have to end up doing some of this. So let me just say that Michelle's role is also very critical in Profit First, okay? Because reading the book is one thing, okay? But implementing it is a very hard thing. So actually doing it with a coach is significantly better. Your chances of success go up substantially.
Mm-hmm.
So I think her role is very, very critical. As far as the office space goes, if I can just touch on that as well, being a serial entrepreneur for 20 years, I've spent 7 years in my basement. And the problem is you got to get out.
Yes.
Okay. And part of the thing of coming into joint shared office spaces, you've got the water cooler effect where you're interacting with other entrepreneurs and things. So I think that's very, very critical. And I think people have got to get out their basements and get into office space. That's how you get to the next step. Mm-hmm. Do we still have a little bit of time? I can talk about Segint.
I would love that.
Okay. So Segint is a spin-off of my former company, Orchitech.
Yes.
We're basically, the core IP was actually sold to a big company in California. And as the original founder of Orchitech, or one of the founders of Orchitech, we basically were under legal constraint for 2 years and we just got that IP back. And we're basically relaunching the software. But basically, there's about 20 years of development in the software.
And it's data mining and that's part of it?
It is essentially analysis of unstructured data. As you know, the foundation of the software was our chief scientist, Dr. Herb Reutblatt, that spent 20 years in Hawaii, teaching at the University of Hawaii. And then he went to the naval station, studied the dolphins and their biosonars and how their biosonars work. And then on
and
those
the
principles...
Orca part of Orchitech.
Correct. And that was how we came up with the algorithm about how you could find words in big bodies of text using concept search. And we've now actually parlayed that into the machine learning as well. So we can actually use the machine learning as we did with Orchitech for litigation review.
And it's still targeting kind of the legal profession? Helping them?
You know, if you look at the name of the company, SIGINT, stands for Signal in the Noise. Okay, so how do you actually find the signal in the noise? So that, you know, our first application using this technology was in the legal space. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, okay, it can be used in...
Can it be in healthcare, like to look for...
Absolutely, it could be in healthcare. Yeah. It could be in social media. I mean, you know, you could actually be looking through tweets. You could be looking through Facebook pages. Wow. You know,
you just need big data pools, right, to mine to kind of find the signals inside of the whatever the noise happens to be.
Well, that's exactly right. But what's really interesting is that the machine learning is evolving. Mm-hmm. As we can see from talking to Siri and talking to, you know, Amazon and all this stuff, okay, the machine learning is getting smarter. And I'm actually just in the process of writing a book that I'm co-authoring with a guy called Bill Inman. Mm-hmm. And it's really going to be about finding the signal and the noise. But how do you use machine learning algorithms to actually find data in unstructured data? Because all the methodologies of using business intelligence and finding data in structured data, which in other words, relational databases, is easy and is very well known. But the only tool you have to find data in unstructured data is keyword searching, which is super...
That's like kind of a blunt instrument, right?
It's a very blunt instrument and it's from the dark ages. You know? Right. So it's really, it's absolutely terrible. So what the book is about is how you can actually use machine learning with automated categorization based on supervised machine learning. Mm-hmm. So supervised machine learning means that I train it or a lawyer trains it. We train it to do whatever we want to do to look for in that data. And then once you've built the model, now we start talking about workflow of those models. How do we take those language models and actually kind of use them in a distillation mode where you can actually build a logic engine where you'll actually start distilling the information.
And it's customized to whatever your specific needs are. That's kind of the secret to the, behind this, right?
That's exactly right. So in other words, if your problem is HR, okay, and you've got, you know, sexual discrimination or racial discrimination or whatever, you can build models and start looking for that kind of stuff in 10 million emails and then drop everything in that bucket every single day.
And you can see where the problems are.
And you can quickly identify where the problems are that you can maybe start, you know, having what they call actionable insight to what the problem
is. Good stuff. So we'll definitely have to have you come back and talk about that further in a future episode.
I'd be very, very pleased to do that.
So real quick, how about the website for SIGINT and then the website again for the raffle?
Okay, well, I'm going to go with the raffle first, cfrraffle.com. And I would really encourage everybody to try and buy a ticket for this. It's a really a good course.
You got one with me. I'll be buying one.
Thank you,
sure.
Sir. I really appreciate it. And you guys are invited to the thing.
Thanks.
And for SIGINT, the website is SIGINT, S-I-G-I-N-T, software.com. And you can actually go and have a look at our website.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you so much.
All right. Scott. And thank you to all of our guests and to Stone and Katie. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.